Brock Long, the head of the Federal Emergency Management Agency, said today that FEMA is spending more than $200 million each day in its response to the three major hurricanes and huge wildfires that hit in the last 2 months. In Puerto Rico, there are big questions about one $300 million contract. Several news outlets are reporting that the FBI has opened an investigation into the contract awarded to a tiny Montana company to rebuild the island's electrical power grid. Whitefish Energy got the contract. It had only two employees at the time, and it didn't go through a competitive bidding process. It's also based in the hometown of Interior Secretary Ryan Zinke, who says he had nothing to do with it. On Sunday, the governor of Puerto Rico canceled the contract, and joining us now from Miami via Skype with the latest is Alan Gomez of USA Today. Hi, Alan.
How you doing?
Doing well. And what more do we know at this point about how Whitefish got this contract?
I think we're not going to figure out the full details of this for some time, because at this point, we now have the FBI is basically just the latest to jump into this. Prior to this, the governor of Puerto Rico had requested that the Department of Homeland Security's inspector general inspect this process. Democrats in Congress have called on the GAO to investigate this. There's Republicans and Democrats in Congress calling for hearings to investigate what happened. And I think when you put all that together, it kind of shows just how this has become a pretty broad, across-the-board call to investigate what happened, because there's a standardized process that's traditionally used in the United States to respond to these disasters and to coordinate electrical recoveries. And this just went so far away from it that, yeah, there's just all these questions. And that's what hopefully some of these investigations will get to.
Well, and it's not just that the company had two full-time employees, as we said, but also some of the aspects of the contract are raising eyebrows. The rates they're paying, $319 per hour for a subcontracted lineman, $332 a day for lodging.
Yeah, and I can tell you that responses to other hurricanes are less than that. So if you're a power company coming from, let's say, Georgia, going down to Florida, yeah, you do get more, you know, more money than you do on a regular shift. When you're responding to a hurricane, it's very hard work. You usually work 16-hour days, 7 days a week when you're on these ships. But I've spoken to a couple of these local utilities, one of the very few, who've actually made it down to Puerto Rico since news of this Whitefish cancellation came out. And even they were telling me, yeah, we thought the rates were a little high. I mean, we weren't going to complain, but we thought they were a little high what they were charging or what we were going to be getting. And so, yeah, everyone's got a lot of questions about how this came to be.
Well, there's also been some question about FEMA's involvement. The contract says FEMA has reviewed and approved the deal, but FEMA says it never saw it. Can you shed any light on that?
Yeah, I mean, FEMA is very clearly trying to get as far away from this as possible. Yeah, there were questions before with FEMA's response to Puerto Rico, and that fits into the broader idea of, you know, why it's taken so long and why the feds haven't stepped up as much as they could. There was an expectation at some point that FEMA would have a more active role in directing the electrical response. But then, you know, we all got blindsided by the Whitefish deal. FEMA says they had nothing to do with it, that they didn't even look at the contract until after it was signed. But there are questions about that as well, because it's really hard to believe that the Puerto Rican Power Authority could go through this process that they said that they did. And they said that they put out a call for bids and that Whitefish just happened to be one of two companies that responded that could even do the work. And yeah, it's just this entire process from start to finish has just gotten so convoluted that, yeah, it might take something like the FBI to really resolve it.
And the $300 million, by the way, that would have come from the bankrupt Puerto Rican Power Authority or from the federal government, or do we know?
Some combination thereof. When this usually happens, it's the local power authority that's responsible for doing the upfront payments. But then they eventually get reimbursed, not fully, but to a very large degree from the federal government. In this case, the worry was that the Puerto Rican Power Authority, already having filed for bankruptcy and already $9 billion in debt, did not have that upfront money to pay these local crews that would be coming from other states. But yeah, eventually they would have been repaid by the federal government, or at least that's the expectation.
So who's going to take over the work now of fixing Puerto Rico's electric grid?
That's a great question. You know, I think the most frustrating thing for folks in Puerto Rico throughout this process is that there already is a process for this, and we've seen it from California to Texas to Florida to New York after Sandy. There is a standardized process where there's two organizing councils in the U.S., trade groups that coordinate power companies to go down and respond. and it works very well, as we saw in Harvey in Texas and Irma in Florida. But Puerto Rico did not activate that. They did not request that after this hurricane. They instead went with whitefish. And now we thought, okay, they're canceling whitefish, the whitefish contract. They're going to activate that process. But instead, what they're going to do is they've requested that specifically the states of Florida and New York come down and organize that and help them out. You know, those two states weren't picked at random. That's where about 40% of people of Puerto Rican descent live in the on the U.S. mainland. So it makes sense that they would be involved, but I don't think we've ever seen a process like this where two state governments are asked to take over the electric restoration system. So again, it makes some sense, but it's deviating from the standard process, which is probably going to lead to a couple of questions down the road as well.
That's Alan Gomez with USA Today. Alan, thanks as always.
Thank you.